Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're heading into transformation of anger into its healthy role of movement and momentum. And the thing I want to say, and I know I've alluded to this before, I think I've said it quite directly as well, that anger is actually necessary for potency. So it's through anger that we actually make a dent in things, that we become potent, that we offer a sense of, well, movement and momentum in our lives, where we are effectively transmuting whatever is happening around us. Freud might use the word sublimating. Forgive me, I'm in a bit of a psychology phase right now. And it transforms into something, if we're using its potency well, that can work with our lives to make it a little bit simpler and easier and more fulfilling to be in. So Freud would refer to sublimation, I'm getting a little bit carried away now, as the process in which we actually reach like the pinnacle of the use of our anger or our violence or our tendencies or proclivities towards sexual energy in certain ways as well. He would go into that angle. That's another realm to understand, and most of us are in common day-to-day life right now in our modern world. We talk about sex in a very different way, and it's often misunderstood. So I won't open up that can of worms too big. But I'm going to come back to the sublimation piece, which is it carries an energy of tremendous transformation, and anger has potency to support that. So what is it you are working with? And I wonder, whatever that is, if we can be curious, listen to receive its story. And we can in turn allow ourselves to bear witness in a way that lets that energy feel really heard to the point where it actually no longer needs to tell that story. And because it's been heard, because it's been received, because it's been met with kindness, with care, it can actually transform and play a different role. So it's not that we get rid of it or annihilate it, we actually just rearrange its functionality. So rather than becoming like a weed in our garden, it can now actually become a useful plant, a herb for us to engage with and to utilize. And it gets to be a source then of nourishment, not of depletion or conflict or challenge or hurt or struggle or, and not that any of those things are bad either. It's just about using that energy in a way that we can be curious about to receive it and then to transform it into through, I think it is alchemy, really, whatever it wants to emerge into serving you at a higher service level. Yeah. We sometimes, in colloquial terms, might refer to this as raising our vibration. Raising our vibration isn't so much about bypassing things or glossing over things. It's literally about doing the sticky work of humanness. And meeting ourselves exactly where we're at and listening to that story to hear it in a way that it gets to settle. Okay, I'm all done belaboring my points for today. And I'm gonna head into our session. So we'll see where we go after that prelude. We're actually gonna start off with an invitation to breathe. So we invite you to connect to those inhales and exhales. And the consciousness of every inhale is to invite in life, to drink in inspiration, to open to receive. And every exhale, we engage with the capacity to let go, surrender. Release. Make space and simply allow life to be as it is. And every breath becomes an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to appreciate it, and to just simply be with it, to accompany it, to be lovingly present to all that's here. As you do that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all of you being here exactly as you are. Deep gratitude to all that went into that. And thank you to your families that created you, the ancestors that created them, and the lineage that's held it all. And thank you to your villages of support in day-to-day life, your chosen families. The deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken and stewarded these very lands that have nourished us all. We give deep, reverent grace for all that transpires on these lands. And thank you to this earth that holds us, giving us grounded energy, the sky above reminding us to rise above, the water carrying our consciousness, our emotions, our joy, and our our fire that connects us to Source itself. We give thanks for how these all interface together and offer us the gift of life. Thank you. Oh, shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Okay, blessings in your session today. We're actually starting off in the family lines. We're going to run a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're going through dad's side, six generations. And we're looking at an emotional frequency here. Okay, interesting territory. So we're actually working with your, and it's a male, it's a male ancestor's issues with receiving what they perceived as toxic mothering. And it's linked to this belief system that nourishment is dangerous, like to receive nourishment from toxic places isn't feeling good in my system. So I'm going to label that as not so safe and dangerous. I'm not saying this person was toxic, but that's how they were being perceived, or the mother, I should say, was being perceived as such. And it led to this, like, I'm going to make people pay, like, you will pay for my sins, you will pay for my pain, and I will use that as logic to perpetuate pain, and in turn perpetuate, I'm going to say the word sin, and I'm going to use it from the perspective that's not religious, but from the understanding of it's just information that missed the mark. It wasn't quite accurate. And if that did bring up any shame in you, we're actually going to unhook that from the base chakra. At the same time, releasing any outdated, religious connotations that to mess up, to be human, to miss the mark is somehow something that you deserve to be criticized, come down hard on, challenged about, and shamed for. And releasing with that the expectation of punishment, which is coming off of the pelvic bowl, and in particular, I'm going to say the tendons and ligaments that are holding a very particular posture of tucking the tailbone to try to, like, avoid punishment. Like, imagine trying to, like, move out of the way of, like, a hand moving towards your bottom, and to avoid, like, a spanking kind of thing. We release that expectation of punishment. It's also coming off of the heart meridian. And it begins to transform the misunderstandings, the misperceptions that we're still working with in this past life, that past life held around, again, expecting to basically exact revenge in some way, shape, or form. I will make you pay for this. You will suffer for this. I will abide any suffering that I am receiving in silence, knowing that I will be plotting my revenge to take it on you one day. Or basically releasing that as a habit pattern. Stored in governing vessel 21 points in the center of the crown of the head there. And with that, doing an emotional release of sadness around chronic misunderstanding and chronic knee-jerk reactions. Okay. And that concludes that particular past life. And then we're linking to another cellular repair, again, restoring cells back to the fullest potential of health. Also inherited. This time down mom's family lines, we're going back quattro, four generations. And here we're working with a pattern of the feminine energy, spiritually abandoning herself in favor of being taken care of and being able to survive in the physical material world. And abandoning what she already knew on the spiritual, energetic, non-material, I'm going to say, plane. And if I could sum that all up in a word, it's actually coming up as self-rejection and self-abandonment alike. I forgot to mention this earlier. It came through while I was saying other words, but the previous past life was in the organ of the liver, and this past life is actually in very specifically an acupuncture point on the liver meridian, liver 14, which hangs out roughly underneath the breast, roughly the midline of the breast. Now, liver 14 is the very last acupuncture point on the liver meridian. And then it links up to how the meridian cycle is that the liver flows into the lung meridian. So this area just below the breast comes over to lung one. So over to lung one. And it does that through both sides. Almost like it's creating a little vessel for the heart itself or the center of the chest to sit within. And lung one point works with new beginnings. And I just keep hearing the words, begin again and shine your light. And I see that light shining from the heart space. Begin again and shine your light. Related to this, interesting, there's a third cell repair. Ooh, setting records over here. And this is actually a cellular repair around the resentment that you may have held on to and the ill feelings, I'm going to sum it up more vaguely, that you've held towards any, through misperceptions and misunderstandings and confusions, that you've held about your parents in ways that have gotten in the way of you being able to and simply have gratitude for being born through them. Which they say is a reflection of how we also honor that which is beyond this world. Spirit, creator, source. And as we do that, we're actually running lymphatic circulation through any low self-esteem that's now taking a hold because of those dynamics, which are interfering with your capacity to simply honor yourself. And that's coming out of the immune system as a whole. So running lymphatic drainage is meant to also support that. And to support that, we're actually going to run hydration, helping cells of the lymphatic system as a whole to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Okay, interesting. Then we're going to work with a lymphatic drainage. We're actually doing it through the brain to release any stagnant blood that's present due to the stagnant liver qi from all the other past lives that we're working with, which in turn is relating to a misperception of thought, confusion, excuse me. And if you can hear any background noise, I'm not sure if the audio is picking up on that. There is a bulldozer breaking down a home a few doors down across the street here. Okay. And I see that as again clearing any confusion between the interfaces of the left and right brain through the midline. And doing an emotional release of sadness. It seems to be coming out of, in particular, the spleen meridian. I've just been watching it. And the spleen meridian is meant to like rise up, but depression or sadness weighs things down and creates an internal compression that's meant to, its purpose is to like drive things inward, to drive you inward, so you can sit with it, so you can become curious, so you can see the thing that's there. And it's linked to the belief system that life in this world at times is just like way too overwhelming. And it's almost as if there's an awareness of that happening on a collective level, that people are basically just driving themselves into the ground with all their different choices that they make in this world, with health, with work, with how they manage life. Okay, we're gonna tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And then we're gonna work with internal self-talk. And you know, like that little voice that's the narrator in your head? What if you could consider that narrator, which is sometimes kind and sometimes not so kind, as basically a part of you that's split off, that fragmented? Some people don't have a narrator, by the way. So it's okay if you don't have that or can't relate to this. This is a commonly held thing that happens for, I want to say, 85 to 90% or so of the population. And this narrator that's held here is essentially nothing more than a child that's been co-opted into doing labor to doing this role, to doing a job. And in particular, we might think of it as starting at a very particular age, and you can even like ask it, you might actually even get a number. I'm seeing a range of ages, so I'm not gonna say anyone in particular, but it's from basically infancy until 4, 5, 6, being very vague on that on purpose. 'Cause everyone of you is gonna have a slightly different age that that began at. And it's also creating, due to its age of development, a very particular pattern of recognizing certain pieces of information and commenting on those. And think of this part as doing it out of protection, and it's actually protecting another part of you that's just a little bit younger. It's just a little bit younger than even this. And that younger part is actually creating a whole lot of anxiety in the system. It's almost as if that younger one is actually looking to sever from those dynamics and to actually come live into your heart space. And as we do that, it actually lightens the load of the narrator who doesn't have to steward that or take care of this little one any further in those ways. And the narrator actually gets to have a bit of a break on occasion. And then we're just simply running the permissions here. What if there's nothing to watch out for? What if there's nothing to watch out for? With that, we're running lymphatic drainage around any particular flavors of hypervigilance that have said the opposite of that, said you have to watch out, you must watch out, your life depends on this. As you release this pattern of hypervigilance, running one more circulation of all those healing resources. You're actually going to do it for the liver meridian as a whole, circulating blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help things to heal, nervous system, immune system, and everything and anything in between. Also working with circulation of the overall yin essence of nourishment and the yang essence of protection. Then working with hydration, helping the cells take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Okay, and with that, running hydration of the eyes, the sense organ that's associated with the liver, helping them to see clearly and fluidly and not be overly rigid in their perceptions of what it is they're taking in. And as we do that, releasing another layer of stagnant qi. And as we release stagnant qi from the liver meridian, it allows for even more fluidity, even more grace, even more flexibility and resiliency to move through the system. And simultaneously, overwhelm, rage, and terror all begin to actually defrag out of the gallbladder that lives in the bottom of that liver. And the gallbladder doesn't need to guard itself with all those various different emotions any further. Now that the liver is lightening its load, The gallbladder doesn't actually need to overly guard it any further. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. As I was tapping that out, just a breath or two ago, the liver was like, it had this like melting. It was like, that feels so good. And it feels more at ease, along with the gallbladder as well. And in Mindscape, I just saw the liver like hang a little sign, nourishment welcome. This, by the way, has the liver overall has a very large impact on our hormones, our hormonal balance. And in women, we are often brought up to not necessarily express anger. You've heard me say this before. It's like the one emotion that's not so socially acceptable for women to express. And for men, it's like the only emotion that they're allowed to express with ease, which creates an all-around interesting mismatch and sets the stage for, again, a fair amount of misunderstandings and confusion to take place. Okay. As we do all of that at the same time, in parallel to everything that we've done so far, we're going to do some work with the perineum, which is that area between vagina and anus. And we're also going to work with the space, I'm going to widen it out a little bit, to the spaces between the sit bones. The perineum isn't quite so elaborate, but the connective tissue that surrounds the perineum extends almost like a diamond. So the perineum is held in this diamond band of tissue between the sit bones, genitals, and anus. And you've likely heard me talk about this quite recently. And forgive me for repeating myself. And I'm going to invite you to soften that band of tissue. And I'm going to invite you to do that a multitude of times. And you're welcome to do that as much or as little as you like. But start with just like a beginning, a bare minimum. Being the keyword of 3 to 5. And as you soften this band, there may actually begin to be a palpable awareness of other things that are softening throughout the body. And as that happens, I just hear a release of the words, I no longer need to prove my strength. I no longer need to prove how strong I am. And like almost like in brackets, quote unquote, by burning myself out. Big yawn on my end, clearly for me as well. Okay, and then excuse me. Unhooking a bundle of belief systems. And it's around this theme of family. And it's carrying at the heart of it, at the seat of it, family betrays me. That seed is giving rise to fruit and flower that is not super nourishing, shall we say. And we're actually ready to shed this pattern now that nourishment is more and more welcome in the system. Excuse me. And as we work with that theme of family betrays me, it's held on the right side of the body, the masculine side of the body. It's like family may actually cost me my own productivity, my own capacity to make my mark in this world, my own capacity to come to my fullest expression of my potential. Oh, big yawn for me again. And this may not even be something that's necessarily in you, as much as it may be just a perpetuation of something that's been carried in the family lines, and it's just a pattern you were born into. So I do see this being connected to the ancestral realm for 6 to 8 generations, depending upon each and every one of you, and the masculine and the feminine lines are a little bit different. Then doing one more release of of sadness, and alongside of it is also frustration, irritation, and a sense of being pissed off. And it's really around this whole scenario of family betraying you, like again. Like this is happening again. Have we not ever already talked about this? Why aren't they listening? Why don't they care? And any hesitancy around essentially your own self-value. So using that information to either make other people wrong or, more notably, yourself wrong. Okay, I have a permissions statement. And this is a juicy one. It's a big one. Feel free to veto it and leave it right where you are. Or if you're open to challenging yourself and being with it, feel free to do so. The permissions, and it's orienting to family. The permission words here are, they're doing the best they can. I understand they're doing the best they can. And we're bringing in the consciousness of the Ho'oponopono, I can never say that word very well, prayer. Thank you. Pardon me, I'll start that again. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. There is someone I worked with as a client, and he actually sang a song and he rearranged the words in a different order. So I sometimes flash to how he did it just to match up for the lyrics and the melody that he was wanting to create. But the prayer is meant to be in that order. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I love you. And throughout this all, releasing any learned powerlessness through the family dynamics that said you weren't supposed to have any because you were born as a feminine energy, as you were born as a female. And just releasing the areas of life where you didn't seem like you were really invited into or were challenged to fully enter because of the marginalization that's still afoot, even in 2025, towards being a female. Okay, interesting. I'm going to invite you to breathe and receive here. Okay. And then to support some of the work that we were doing earlier, to support your own balance between your yin, your yang, your feminine, your masculine energies around being in a more peaceful state. I wonder what it might be like for the masculine to receive the nourishment of the feminine, the yang to receive the energy of the yin, for nothing more than the fact that the yang energy was just doing its natural job, which is that of protection and drive. Ambition may even be on the books at times within that. And as a result of that, the feminine gets to rest easy, knowing that the masculine energy is taking care of things, is working hard to do so. And amongst that, releasing the pattern of having to, I'm going to say, be the better man or dominate in the masculine space. And this is not so, I mean, this may be very well playing out externally, but I also see this as very much playing out internally between your own masculine, your yang, and your own feminine, your yin. And how we do one thing is how we do everything. So it might be easier to see some of these dynamics out there versus in here. And if it's possible, I'm going to invite you to connect to that localized nervous system, your energy inside of your body. And just simply again turn towards it and be with all that is being felt, being expressed here. We're going to tap this all out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. I'm going to invite you to take 3, 4, 5 breaths here as we finish the tap out. And as you integrate this piece, exaggerating slowly, lightly, deeply for 3, 4, 5 breaths. And almost like an animal might in the wild, in nature, or in your very own homes, if you have animals, you've seen them do this. I'm invite you to like shake. They might like stretch and kind of like tremor and do different things. If that calls to you, feel free to do that. But I'm invite you to sort of mimic something that they might do after a more serious dysregulation in their system, which is just to simply shake and to vibrate. Invite you to do that through the whole body, wiggle woggling, shake shimmying, just giving everything a chance to essentially discharge. This is a really healthy way, in particular for the liver, to practice emotional discharge, stretching, shaking, tremoring, releasing what's here. And so often we get that curated out of us in the school system. Hold still, don't move, don't be raucous, don't be rowdy. And we train our little ones to suppress because we're not even sure how to handle it. So we don't know how to handle the movements they might naturally make, never mind their emotional expressions in a larger way. And I mean, some are pretty dialed in and easeful in that territory, but the school system isn't set up to handle that terribly well. And we might even regard the school system as creating a certain blunting of affect, blunting of emotional expression to the point where it creates either overwhelm in the system or a sense of understimulation because people aren't getting to greet themselves in the emotional, psycho-emotional realm in the way that they wish to. So we learn to abandon ourselves, we learn to abandon our feelings, our emotions. while we're being told also how to think, what to think, how things work. From someone who's essentially not a relative, not necessarily a part of your immediate tribe or village, but from another location. And as a little one, that can be actually kind of like, whoa, I have to adjust to this. And it might have been like the most loving adult ever, like, as a teacher. At the same time, it wasn't someone that was related. It wasn't someone that was familiar in a way that might be able to reach your genetics wiring, your nervous system, your need for regulation, which can happen. I hold the opinion that can happen most effectively from the caregivers who are in touch with us from infancy or from a young age. And that includes whether it was a regular birth or an adoption of sorts. Adoptions in later ages usually create some challenges on an emotional front because of that as well. And it creates this in the school system, I'm going to come back to that example, a sense of not being able to be fully understood or witnessed or seen. And it's like certain parts you just routinely got missed, routinely didn't get seen. So you learn to not see those parts of you that might have carried your gifts. And that, I'm going to say, is actually impacting your feminine essence and the gifts that you carry there. Your intuition, your insight, your psychic, your capacity for telepathy, for channeling, for all the things that aren't taught in the school system. Well, most school systems, there are a couple, far and few between out there, that do this. And because of that, it creates even more confusion because we orient solely to the material world, which creates a blind way of being. It blinds us from the truth of who and what we really are. And all of that, to say, has depleted your capacity to receive nourishment even further through your own feminine essence. That's true of the humans that raised you and the humans that raised them. And we're going back and back and back, 8 generations. Which goes to a time before there was even organized school systems. It goes back into just the beginnings of the fragmentation of, I'm going to say, potentially even like the modern world. I'm not very good with history, so forgive me if I'm fussing this up a little bit. But the idea of when we began to embrace capitalism and began to work in certain ways, we may have had certain relatives that required both parents to be out of the home in ways that didn't allow for deep nurturing to happen, deep connection to happen. And it led to a normalization of isolation, which is painful, which creates disconnection. And we wonder, like, why can't I seem to, like, function in certain ways? And it's because there's just this autopilot disconnection happening, and I see it in different ways for different folks. So I'm speaking vaguely to a degree on purpose, but where we all sort of share it to a degree is within the nervous system, at the synaptic gap, at the synaptic cleft. And there's a bridge that at times is disconnected and isn't allowing for smooth flow of neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, even adrenaline. And sometimes it's the opposite. It's because there's a disconnection, there's a flooding that happens too easily. So we're entering hypo or hyper arousal, to use fancy words, with, I'm going to say, too much ease due to that. There is a lack of resiliency because of this. So we need to run switching technique, like on steroids. We're actually going to keep it going. At probably the most frequent pace I've ever seen this set up. We're actually going to do it every minute on the minute for the next hour. And then once every hour for the next, I'm just double checking this information, the next 60 days. Wow. Okay. And it'll take us to roughly April 14th, mid-April. Oh, interesting. For me, that's a very specific date that holds a lot of energy around things that I haven't openly talked about a whole lot, anyways, alluded to vaguely. So hopefully that's meaningful in your system, regardless of the date itself. And I just hear the words, like we were blinded in ways we didn't even know. And that created this ripple effect through the humanity, through the system. Systems that were raising us instead of family, that were creating disruptions instead of connections. And there's a sense of really deep felt injustice related to that a whole dynamic. And that might show up in you as like things like this shouldn't happen. And it might fortify blame, victim, rescuing dynamics. It might fortify social justice warrioring. That's a verb for today. Or it might fortify in some other way. There's a tendency to then see the world through lenses around something's missing, something's lacking, something must be wrong here. Or vice versa, I must be wrong here. So, whichever direction it goes, looking at the judgment of wrongness. And we're linking that to the small intestine to bring in discernment and awareness at an intellectual level to support the undoing of particular judgments that may have been made erroneously. We're unhooking that through the sense of sight, first and foremost, and then all the other senses to follow that. And then into bladder one acupuncture point, which is in the inner corner of the eye, which helps us to see the present moment with clarity, despite the confusion, despite the misunderstanding, despite the disconnection. Because there's still a way through all of this, even with all of that in play. There's still a way through this. And how it is you're making your way through those dynamics relates specifically to how you made your way through the birth canal. Was it hard slugging? Was it easy going? Did you pause? Was there a sense of this isn't going to work? I might die in here. I can't make my way through here. There may have been panic, anxiety, terror along the way. There might have been a sense of, like, I can't make it out of here. No exit, terror, stuckness, stagnation. And however it is you made your way through the birth canal creates an overlay in terms of how it is you're moving forward here and now. We're just going to lighten the load of that birth canal trip. We're going to run a couple of things. I see it as hydrating the gallbladder meridian slash side body, so you can actually like squiggle your way through. Almost like we could do a do-over and give you the nourishment that may have been more supportive for you in those moments. Creating greater ease. And as we work with hydration of the gallbladder meridian and the side body alike, creating a sense of stability, decision-making, being able to move forward and to utilize the energy that drives the gallbladder meridian, anger, in a potent way. And then it's actually linking into the way that you had to like tilt your head at times to angle around certain corners. Excuse me, to use the posterior fontanelle to find almost like an energetic homing device, the easy way through, or the easiest way through. And by the way, this energy is still carried here, even though your skull bones have closed up. That soft spot in the back of the skull that's closed up shortly after birth is not the same as the soft spot that you have to watch out for when you're raising your little one. This one heals up quite quickly to the point where doctors don't even really go into details about it, or nurses alike when they talk to parents. There's a posterior soft spot or fontanelle. And again, it's helping us to find the easiest way through so you don't have to work so hard. I see this as holding a whole lot of anger. It's got layers of green and blue and kind of some pussy stuff in there to boot. The pus is clear. That's good news. For my interpretation, anyways. And it's carrying with it old, undigested stress and therefore shock in amongst it all. And the anger is actually just there in play to make sure that the shock doesn't overtake the system. So it's kind of balancing it out. Almost like a form of protection. So we're just going to simply unhook this through the emotional release techniques. And then for the shock, almost like we can bring in the energy of the sun, bring in the planetary energy of warmth, bringing in sunlight. And then, so it remembers its true nature, we're actually going to bring in the energy of starlight. Like you were born to be dignified, to carry your head high, to carry it like royalty might. And to carry it nonetheless with humility. The earth that kisses your forehead is the crown you have been looking for your whole life. It's one of my favorite lyrics from a song. I think I played it a while ago. As we do that, I actually see both jaws, TMJs, and all the nerves that innervate on the other side of the mouth. Begin almost like they're releasing various layers of anger, frustration in particular. Like they're releasing a burden. They're actually releasing that into the earth. And it's overlaying with this image of laying flowers at a graveyard and allowing you to welcome what it is to rest in peace. Specifically, I got it now. Specifically, allowing for the parts of you that are used to overworking or working harder or working blindly in ways that are challenging and tough and hard and unaware of creating even more of that challenge. And as it resolves the need to overwork in such ways, and we find the simplicity of, having things go a little bit easier. We're going to run lymphatic drainage through the face, the crown of the head, and the base of the chin. And alongside of that, releasing the need to be responsible for anybody else's guilt trips. The need to people please anybody else's guilt trips, which is another form of overworking. And this too, this pattern is ready to surrender to whatever degree is ready to be met by you today. And innately held in that is an emotional buildup of sadness. I'm just hearing various different voices from the various different parts of you that are craving, longing, desiring to be met in deeper ways. So I wonder what it might be like when your body offers you information to not be like, oh, this again. Oh, I have to deal with this. I'm going to tell you what I want. And instead of replacing it with, this is, quite frankly, that just mimics how most of us were raised way back when. And what it would be to replace that with a sense of, like, hang on, I'm not sure what that means. Can you slow down and tell me just a little bit more about that? I'm so curious. I wonder what it is you're offering here. As we stand in the awe, the wonder, the curiosity, it sets a tonality of welcoming the energy to be here and for it to actually be fully received, met, cared for, honored. And all of this then in turn is actually allowing for the masculine energy to begin to finally receive some of that feminine essence, that nourishment. As we release the shaming of the you haven't worked hard enough, the masculine and its actions, its activity, gets to open to receive the nourishment of the feminine. And we're linking that to the mouth, to the lips. I'm inviting you to remember something that you ate that tasted just like really good. And being able to not necessarily then go, oh, I really need that again. And that might happen, and that's fine to be there if it is, if the craving shows up for it. But amongst that all, I'm going to invite you to tune into what it felt like and remember what it felt like to be deeply nourished by that thing that just like fed you so very well. And as it comes to mind, as you make contact with it, savoring it, drinking it in, receiving it, and we're linking that to your immune system. We're running a body chemistry here. So it begins to receive nourishment as nourishment and releases any old ideologies, old belief systems that what you're taking in right now is somehow toxic or wrong and also a fear of actually being punished for doing so. And amongst that, releasing any shame for quote unquote taking resources away from the family, taking resources away from the family. And we're doing that for all the ages of you between 0 to 6. We're tapping that part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive. I'm a few minutes over time. I apologize for that. If you're open to it, I'm going to invite you to touch on that resource that we found earlier. I've got a beautiful song. It is 3 minutes and 59 seconds long. It's called One by Bird Talker. And I'll post the link in the chat feature here. I invite you to rest and receive and explore what it is to take in things that are nourishing for you.
I've played the teacher, the preacher, guru, maintaining posture, separating me and you, as if the thoughts of God were mine and mine to speak. I've listened with an agenda so I could prove all of the shit I believe to be true. just to hide the fear of being weak. Burn the scorecards, balance out the scales. We are one when distracted by our differences. Underneath what's detectable with eyes, every particle's vibrating with the same light. On your tongue, shut your brain up long enough to hear the lowly hum. Underneath what's detectable with eyes, every particle's vibrating with the one light.
Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today in these ways. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. I appreciate you showing up and being here for you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Wishing you blessings on the rest of your day and your week and your 60 days, if I will, ahead. And you're most welcome, everybody. Thank you, thank you. I'm remiss. Happy Valentine's Day in 2 days. So wishing you a happy experience around remembering love for you, however that looks. I think that's all Valentine's Day is honestly meant to jog our memory around, although we've treated it in all sorts of ways. Also, I have my upcoming annual sale starting on Valentine's Day this year, and it'll be announced and out in email form soon. So stay tuned. All right, my loves. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Sending you all my love and wishing you a beautiful week. And we'll see you soon. Okay. Bye for now, loves.